I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's Bob Sherwood from Santa Clarita, California. It's 10 o'clock or 10:15 out here. Sunny, nice day. And what's going on? Well, a number of things. First, a couple of shout-outs. Bob Lastlick, an attorney, retired attorney in Florida, listens to me and wrote in that his sister had a plan for getting her children to put things away. When she picked up one of her children's things that they didn't put away, she gave it to the Goodwill. It sounds pretty harsh to me, but I'm sure it works when you find out that your favorite Nike tennis shoe was just given away to the Goodwill and you don't have one and your parents won't buy you another set. You probably remember the next time to put your stuff away. So shout out to Bob Lastlick. Hope you're having a great time in Florida. I don't know how close you are to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I'm sure you're hear about them wherever you are, if you're in Florida. And then number two shout-out is to Al Betts. Al commented on my stories podcast because he has a business where he does stories for people. He's done about 50 of them. So he interviews them and transcribes some material and gives them their life story back. He charges for it. So in other words, storytelling is not only a great family culture activity and a business culture activity, and a foundation for both, but it's also a business, helping people tell their life stories, and maybe for their grandparents. So that's a worthwhile thing. I'm going to give that some thought myself, because it's easy these days to record interviews and then get them transcribed through these speech-to-text editors. By the way, I use one called Otter, O-T-T-E-R. If you ever have a recording and you want it transcribed, Otter is a good one. O-T-T-E-R. But that's enough on that. I talked about stories already, but I can't help not talk about Facebook again because, and I don't want to be political, but frankly, when Dan Bongino and Tucker Carlson agree with what I'm saying, I don't think that's a bad thing. But they, like me, think the whole Facebook whistleblower is a fake activity. Now, I'm not saying she's fake, but I do say this. Facebook wants controls put on them. They want rules because they know with rules they're protected. They want to be able to write the rules, which they'll be able to do if they're part of the group that writes the rules. So you can imagine a team of people, which would be the Congress, maybe the whistleblower, and Facebook, writing the rules for Facebook. Interesting. Fascinating. Why do they want the rules? Well, because they don't want the publishing law taken away from them that protects them from major lawsuits. That's what Josh Hawley and people want. So they don't want that. So they'd prefer the rules. So we're going to spend the next couple of years listening to TV and committee hearings on how to write the rules for Facebook. But what will the rules do? Well, the rules will allow them, legally, if you will, or lawfully, to delete certain things on their sites that are inappropriate, whatever that might be. And of course, that's only defined by the rules. So if you want to follow something and have some fun, follow what goes on with the Facebook and look at it in an open mind. When a company says to the world, oh, gee, we need you to regulate us, you have to step up and think what is going on when they say that. No one wants to be regulated unless they're going to write the regulations. So that's where that is. And that's enough on Facebook. Now, what else is going on today on a wonderful day? Well, of course, Alabama lost yesterday. That was too bad. It was a great, great game if you were watching it. And one more thing. If you turn on your TV these days, all you hear about is we can't raise the debt ceiling. If we don't raise it, we'll shut government down. Hey, honey, we have to borrow more money. No, we can't borrow more money because we've agreed not to borrow more. But hey, honey, we're broke. Okay, then go borrow more money. Okay, I've lived through, I don't know, 11 or 12 presidents from Truman to Biden and all the presidents in the middle. And I'll tell you this. In every administration, there is some argument on the debt ceiling. Somebody, the Republicans or the Democrats, want to spend more money, and the other party say, can't spend it because we have the debt ceiling. Now, the debt ceiling is arbitrary, and when you want to spend more money, you just raise it. That's what they get to do. But here's what happens. First, it's always raised. They always spend the money. Secondly, they occasionally do shut the government down. But here's the other point. All necessary government services are never shut down, only the unnecessary ones, which makes one stop and think, if they're so unnecessary that we don't need them, maybe we should shut them down permanently. But that's not going to happen. Now, here's the other point. So let's say they shut them down for 3 or 4 weeks. The government services that we don't need, by the way, are shut down. Then they're opened up again. Guess what happens? The people still get paid for the time they were off. Now, right now, they've pushed the debt ceiling review out to middle of December, and I'll guarantee you there's some government people saying, I hope they shut government down in December, because why? Well, it won't really be shut down. And secondly, reopen it in January so we have a nice vacation. So there's a lot of government people thinking that right now. So here's my message to you, younger people who have never heard the discussion about the debt ceiling and maybe think how dangerous it is and how important it is. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Because another president, you'll hear the same thing again. When they want to spend more money, they give themselves the power to do it. End of discussion. Now, on another positive note, Ford Motor Company is investing a lot of money in building batteries in Tennessee and Kentucky. And it's given Michigan some, something to think about. But the point is, Ford is moving as fast as they can to be into the electronic vehicle business. And everything that you read is, in my opinion, accurate, that by year 2030, in the next 8 or 9 years, electric vehicles will be more common than gasoline engines are now. The gasoline prices getting pushed up to $5 or $6 a gallon here in California aren't going to help it any. But that's what's happening on the electric vehicle market side. If you have an interest, I understand that the Ford Motor, the new F-150 Ford that they have 150,000 pre-orders for, it goes 0 to 60 miles an hour in 4 seconds. That's pretty good for a truck, all right? So that's all I can really kind of talk about this morning. Nothing too fascinating. The fascinating thing for me last night was at 1 o'clock in the morning, my granddaughter was making me a whiskey sour. That was kind of shocking. And also, remember, I talked about tracking my time for a few days, and all I can say is so far it's humiliating because I feel like I'm sleeping and watching Netflix or football most of the time. But I'm continuing to track my time, and I hope you're doing the same, and I'll report back in a couple of weeks, but already doesn't look good. It doesn't look like I'm spending a lot of what I call meaningful time. On another note, I went to a high school football homecoming game Friday night, and it was Friday Night Lights. They had 200 cheerleaders and I don't know how many people in the stands, but it was thousands. It was high school football, California style, because it was a nice out, a little cool. The team that my kids were on won 52-0, so it wasn't a tight game. But the point is, I haven't thought much about high school football in a long time, but it's still a big thing. You could hear the high school football boosters in the back yelling the names of the players, and it was kind of exciting. I kind of thought high school football went away, but it hasn't. And of course, if you ever watch Friday Night Lights, a Netflix show or Prime Media show, then you know it's still pretty big in Texas. So that's all I'm going to talk about this morning, but I'll say this. I've got some interesting stuff coming up on stories and some observations on time bandits. Time bandits. For example, when my car got hit and I got to deal with State Farm, that's a major, major time bandit. I probably spent 5 hours with State Farm on the phone getting my insurance taken care of. And I think the message is that over the years, I've let these time bandits suck my time out. Instead of rebelling at the amount of time it takes to work on simple things, going back to the original concept, which I keep talking about, that, you know, life is a full-time job, and it is. Just living, getting food, eating food, sleeping, working, those kind of things are a full-time job. So what is the whole point of that point is that we're all looking for one thing. Once we get through life being a full-time job, we're looking at what we can do that will be meaningful. What's our legacy? Whether we're 20 years old, 40 years old, 60 years old, or 80 years old, we still want the same thing. We want to do something meaningful. Not that raising a family is not meaningful, just that we don't give that the credit that we should be giving the credit to. We look for something outside of our family to be meaningful. I was told one time by one of my sons, and I asked my son about what legacy their dad was going to produce, and my son said, "Your legacy is your son's." That may be it. And that is meaningful. Last night, my two grandsons here in California had a homecoming, and their mom, Beth, my oldest boy's wife, ran around town getting the right pants, getting the right shirt, getting the right belt, getting the right shoes. So at the end, right before they go out homecoming, they're all dressed up and they're in the front room. And I hear Beth said, "I'm good at my job," she says. "I'm good at my job." And she was right. Her kids looked good. They were all dressed well. They were clean. Pants were pressed. Shirt was pressed. They looked good. That was her job. And she was good at it. So in other words, meaningfulness may not be something that we look much further than how we treat our family. That may be the most meaningful thing that we can leave, either as a legacy or do on a day-to-day basis. Redirecting our meaningful activities, instead of looking for something meaningful like changing the world, finding an invention that does something special for the world, and just recognizing that raising our family to follow the Ten Commandments, look good, act with manners, those may be the most meaningful activities that we as parents and as people can do. So I'm signing off. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Listen in for another 10 or 15 minutes with Bob. Think about it. Somewhere buried in this narrative is one or two good points, I believe. I think they're there somewhere. I sometimes have to listen to it again to find them myself, but I think they're there. So signing off. Have a good Sunday, by the way.